Welcome back to Goal Line Stuff, the show where we talk about anything and everything football related. I'm Alex Kirchief.
And I'm Michael San Antonio, and boy, do we have a special draft episode for you today. This will be our official predictive mock draft of the first round for the 2023 NFL draft. We're very excited to bring it to you because we haven't done as much prospect stuff as we would have liked to. I know in the past, if you have been a past watcher in past years for, draft content, you know that we got pretty into it. Did a lot of prospect analysis, reviews, people we liked on offense, people we liked on defense. We haven't done that this year. And so, we've been studying, we've been looking at the film, and we've been doing mocks on our own. And so we're ready to kind of give you our predictive mock. The way we're going to do this, just to make it easy for you listening, is that I'm going to do all the even picks. Actually, no, I'm sorry. I'm going to do all the odd picks. I'm going to start with the first overall pick. And
Nice.
Alex is going to do all the even picks. And we're going to do that all the way till the last pick, which is pick 31. We pick 32, but th there's only 31 picks in the first round. So that's pretty much how we're going to do it. And don't want to waste any more time. Let's start. First overall pick, for those who don't know, it was the Bears, but they traded it to the Carolina Panthers. And with the Panthers' first overall pick, they're going to take a quarterback. And while the conversation around quarterback has been pretty, it's been up in the air. There's been around three guys who could potentially be taken here. But recently, I think, the guy who I'm taking has kind of pulled away. And I think it's pretty well known, or most people at least think that this is going to be Bryce Young. And so I'm going to take Bryce Young. I think that he is the best quarterback in the draft. And right now he's the established number one overall pick. I think the Panthers like him the most. It's either him or Stroud. Or it could be Richardson too, but I think it's him or Stroud. And I think that the team's showing interest that Young is their guy. So predictively, I think they're going to take him first
It
overall. And
does
he
look like it'll be Bryce
yeah.
Young.
Yeah. Yeah.
He canceled all his pre-draft visits, and that pretty much signifies that the Panthers will be taking him at one, and he doesn't need to visit any other teams because he know he won't be there.
Yeah.
So I've got the second pick now, and this is where it gets tough. This is not a top three and then draft type of draft. It's just it goes right from the first pick and then it gets complicated.
It does.
The leader at this pick, it's the Texans at number two. The leader, it seems, in a lot of mocks is CJ Stroud. I don't think that's going to happen. There's a lot of smoke that they don't like him, and I'm going to choose to believe it. Where there's smoke, there's fire. So what I'm going to do, it's a very tough pick. We're doing no trades, by the way, to establish that.
Yep. Oh, good
Just for
point.
ease. And so what I think will happen here is that they will trade out for someone to get CJ Stroud. I think maybe the Raiders, the Falcons. Even someone lower like the Titans, maybe I think could trade up for CJ Stroud. But in this no trades event, it's tough. But I think I'm gonna go with Anthony Richardson out of Florida. He's a quarterback, he's an insane athlete, very raw, but not as unfinished as a lot of people would have you believe. But I think that he's easily a top three quarterback of the draft. It's a three-man race, which isn't saying much that he's the top three because Will Levis, I think, is comfortably number four out of all of them. But I really like him. I'd still put him at number three just because I think the other two are that much more complete right now and much better. But I think Anthony Richardson has a ton of potential to become a superstar, and I think he honestly will be.
Yeah, that is such a tough pick. Like you said, so many things can happen. I do think they'll probably trade out of that. So it's good that you mentioned that because, we can only do so much with a no trade predictive mock draft. You have to take somebody at two. I like that pick. I don't know if I would have went the same way, but I think Richardson definitely is on their radar. So, I respect it. And at three, that leaves the Arizona Cardinals, who are also a prime in prime position to trade down. There's so many teams that are interested in one of these quarterbacks, and there's still two guys there who could, potentially go in the top five. So, a team could easily trade up or yeah, try to get this pick from the Cardinals, but with no trades, this pick is pretty easy. And I think that if they do not trade back, which is very likely that they don't, that they will be taking Will Anderson Jr., who I have as the number one overall player in the draft. Great edge rusher from Alabama. Cardinals have a lot of issues. And one issue that they don't have is quarterback. They have Kyler Murray. So defensively, they have still a lot of question marks. I think Will Anderson Jr. is a staple. He's a guy you can have on defense and can pretty much transform things, you know, potentially, you know, if he ends up working out the way that you think he will. He's a superstar, and any team wants him on their team. Third overall, I think they're taking Will Anderson Jr.
I hear you. I think that's it's definitely another trade out spot, but in this no trade scenario, that's easy money right there.
Yeah.
And speaking of easy money, we have the Colts at number four now, and they get their quarterback to fall right in their lap. They're going to take Hendon Hooker at number four. No, I'm just playing.
I was about to say. Okay.
They're taking CJ Stroud out of Ohio State because he's the best quarterback left. They didn't even have to trade up for him. And he's just right there falling into their laps. Just simple. They don't even need to think about that. Stroud is an awesome pocket passer who has displayed a little bit of struggles dealing with pressure and adversity. But in the game against Georgia in the playoffs this season, he totally adapted perfectly to the pressure and had the game of his life. So I think that a lot of people have turned on him a little bit because of that game in a positive way. And I honestly see CJ Stroud being as one of the most successful QBs of this class. I don't know that he will be the most successful because they're really close, all three dudes. But I really like him as a prospect. He's throws one of the prettiest spirals I've ever seen.
I mean, I can't hate it. CJ Stroud at four to Indianapolis is a good pick. I do think Daniel Jeremiah and some other experts are saying that the Colts are particularly fond of Will Levis.
I know
you don't. I'm saying just like that's something to consider. And for those listening, that Will Levis is definitely on the radar of the Colts and a couple other teams. I think Stroud's better, but also Stroud scored very poorly on the quarterback intelligence test, which, you know, I don't know how much that really you can't base everything on that, but Stroud's falling in a lot of recent experts, you know, projections in the draft, and Levis is going up. So I think Stroud at four, though, is still a very good pick. And that leaves the Seahawks in a position that I think most people would have them in. Without, you know, quarterback really on the radar, I think with, you know, three quarterbacks already gone and Geno Smith signed to that, you know, not super lengthy.
It's like a 1-year deal in reality.
Yeah, but I still don't think that they go quarterback here.
Personally. Not unless it's Richardson, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, with those three guys gone, I think you're, you know, at five, you don't really have much leeway at quarterback. You're not going to take a chance on Levis. And I think here, you know, there's a couple guys you could take, but I think they take the best edge rusher left, which is Tyree Wilson.
Okay.
You know, they could go many different guys here, but I think Tyree Wilson, you know, edge is such an important position. I'm not the biggest on Tyree Wilson, but I do think he'll go top 10. And I think Seattle, you know, instead of taking a guy like Jalen Carter, who has some question marks, I think they're going to go with a safer option. Texas Tech's Tyree Wilson, five.
So that throws me for a loop a little bit because I would have had Jalen Carter there.
Yep.
And I'm the Lions at six next, where I would have taken Tyree Wilson after that.
Yep.
So, I mean, this is the life of a GM. So I'm
yep.
not going to take Jalen Carter at six for the Lions. They seem to be trying to build up that culture, which they definitely have taken a hit on in the last couple of days. A little bit of a gambling scandal. My
yeah.
boy Jameson Williams. It's tough. That rule is stupid, though. He was betting on non-NFL games, and because he did it under an NFL roof, he gets suspended six games for it. That's ridiculous. Anyway, Lions are in need of some secondary help. Their defense was terrible last year, and I am going to go with the best corner off the board, the top corner, and that would be Christian Gonzalez out of Oregon. He is a very prototypical corner, awesome athlete, good in coverage. He's a solid ball hawk too, and he's just the question there is the level of competition he played in the Pac-12, but I'm going to overlook that. I'm going to scout the player rather than the helmet, although that's not really what that means. But you know what I mean. Like, I'm going to ignore the competition thing. Not ignore, but I'm going to play that off. You scout the traits is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Christian Gonzalez right there at six. I wouldn't be mad at anyone that takes Devin Witherspoon there, because I think that very well could happen. I think they're 1A and 1B, but I'm going Gonzalez.
Yeah, with me, I always think DBs are very hard to rank who's first, especially in the eyes of teams. Last year, I really thought Sauce was going to go first. And then, you know,
he did
we,
not.
we all saw he did not go first. Stingley got picked over him. So you just never know. I do like Devon Witherspoon better than Christian Gonzalez. But I think it's, like you said, it's very close. And I think the Lions could definitely lean Gonzalez. So at seven, we have the Las Vegas Raiders, who are looking to do a lot of things. And quarterback was one of them, but I don't think Will Levis is the guy that they would want potentially. I think Will Levis will slip past the Raiders. If a guy like CJ Stroud is available towards seven, or if they could trade up to get CJ Stroud, I think that they definitely would consider doing that. But here at seven, with three of the top quarterbacks gone, I think that the Raiders take the best overall player who's left, even with some question marks. You know, you need a defensive tackle. Jalen Carter easily could have gone top three. You know, if a lot of the stuff that's happened in the last couple months didn't happen, I think he still probably would be going top three. And so I think the Raiders are going to capitalize on some of the issues that they've, you know, the world has seen with Jalen Carter recently, and get him at a discount at seven. And yeah, I think that's a good pick. I think that's what they probably will do if he falls all the way to this space.
That's the first one I disagree with. The Raiders with their past, I don't know. I don't know that they're looking to take a risk there. I can see it, because there was the rumor that they took him off the draft board and then they visited with him anyway. So who really knows besides the Raiders themselves? So honestly, you know what? That's not that bad. That's not that bad. It's not that unfathomable.
You can't just, you know, be scared of taking the best players because of risks and past things. I mean,
well,
I get it.
When you take,
I get it.
When you have two first round picks in a draft and both of them get cut from the team because of off the field issues.
Yeah.
You know, that's not ideal. And maybe you take somebody that doesn't have those question marks, but who knows?
The person without the question marks isn't Jalen Carter, though. You're not getting that type of player.
Bro, it's tough to get that kind of pass rusher on the inside. So he's definitely worth taking the risk on, in my opinion. And honestly, if a team gives him the green light, if the team picks him and deems him good enough to, you know, pick, then I see no reason to doubt that.
Mm-hmm.
So next I've got the Falcons at number eight. This one's pretty straightforward. I see Devon Witherspoon going here. They need a corner and he's the best corner available. Like I said, he's 1A, 1B with Christian Gonzalez. Witherspoon, he's a little older, he's a little smaller, he's a little more handsy, but the man is locked down in coverage, and he has that dog in him. I hate that phrase, but he has that dog in him, and he's just the easy pick. I don't know that there's much more to say on that one. I could see Bijan Robinson out of Texas running back going here, but I don't think so.
I mean, fair. I like that pick a lot. Like I said, he's my first DB on my ranking, so I definitely like that pick. Yeah. Bears at nine is definitely an interesting position. There's a lot of things that the Bears need. I mean, they had the first overall pick, so you know they needed a lot. And really, I think that this pick could go so many different ways, but I do think it's going to be an offensive tackle. And that being said, I don't know which one it'll be, because they can really, their line's not that good. You know, they have a couple established guys, but like, I really think any of like the three or four top tackles could fit into the Bears, you know, frame point, what they want to do as a franchise moving forward, protect Justin Fields, give him more time to throw, you know, establish the pass a little bit more, maybe establish the run too. I do think Peter Skoronski, while he is not my number one ranked tackle, I've seen him mocked to Chicago a lot, and I do think it would be a pretty good fit. I do think that they might like him over, you know, Paris Johnson Jr., over Broderick Jones, over all these other tackles. I think they might like him better. And at nine, I really don't think that it's a reach to take, you know, Peter Skoronski at nine. I think I'm going to take him here as the Bears. I think that's the best position for him.
All right, I can get down with that.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be said about the length of his arms. A lot of mm-hmm. people think that he's going to project better as a guard than a tackle, and the Bears really need tackle.
So they need a guard too, though. That's like,
it's bad value though. You don't use the ninth overall pick on a guard.
Well, I think they're gonna try to get him in as a tackle because that's, you know,
Yeah.
it's what he plays.
And we're
And
and
if
worst case, they'll play him at guard. I see your rationale.
I mean, Braxton Jones had a decent rookie season, but I don't know if you can rely on him being your franchise left tackle. And there's a lot to desire. There's a lot to desire with the Bears offensive line. So I think really he could play like anywhere, wherever they want him to play or need him to play, he could probably play there. I like the pick. I don't know.
I see the rationale. I see the rationale. Now, you're not going to like this one. I have the Eagles at number 10, our Philadelphia Eagles. And you see all this stuff on Mock Drafts Online, all this smoke about the Eagles. They like their lines. They're going to take an offensive lineman. They're going to take a defensive lineman. They build through the trenches, which is true. But they see the value in premium picks. They don't draft line high. They do not draft line high. They have the 10th overall pick. And while I think they will trade out of it, this is a no trade scenario. So we're assuming they stay at 10. And I see Nolan Smith mock to the Eagles, and I like that. I think that's a solid pick, and I think they could do that. I also see Lucas Van Ness at 10, which I would not be happy with, but I honestly could see it too. Offensive line, I think, is out of the question. They're not going to do that at 10. I don't care who it is. They know the value of guard. They're not going to draft a guard at 10. Meaning Skoronski, who could project long-term at tackle, but you know what I mean. But they see the value in premium picks and taking premium players at premium picks. Howie just specifically said, you don't waste a top 10 pick just by drafting for position. You draft the talent. And what I'm getting at here, long-term, we have who some people believe to be a top three talent in this class, and someone who's only draft visited with two teams, one of which has an established running back already. I just gave it away, but we are taking Bijan Robinson out of Texas at 10th overall. Since this is predictive, I don't know that I'd do it, but the man is a game changer. I think he's ridiculous as a talent. He has breakaway speed, but what the highest value of Bijan Robinson is, it's his patience and his ability to see the hole. He will turn a loss of two into a gain of six or seven, just like nothing. And I think that that could make the Eagles offense dynamic, even more dynamic than it was last season when it was one of the best offenses in the whole league, if not the best. So in so many words, Bijan Robinson at 10.
Yeah, I'm not going to go too in on this. I really don't like this pick. I think it's a good predictive pick because
from what we've been hearing,
that's the right pick to make, Alex, or, you know, that's one of the right picks to make. I just, as a fan, I don't like it. And I could get that into that later. I don't think we need a running back, especially this high. We could get the guy in the fifth round who, with our offensive line, which is one of the greatest ever, or up there at least, anybody could look good. So I don't know. But predictive, like I said, so good pick there because we've been hearing a lot of stuff. And I know you know this pains me, Alex, but at 11, I think with the way that this board has fallen, it's tough because I usually like going tackle here for the Titans. But Will Levis is still here. I don't think that they should do this personally. I think that Tannehill is still pretty good. And I think that even if they want to move on from Tannehill, I don't think Will Levis is the guy to move on. Or to, you know, see if you have anything in him with. But I think at 11, if Will Levis is here, and which I don't think it'll work this way because I think there will be trades beforehand. But predictive wise, I think Will Levis is going to go 11 to the Titans if the board were to end up as it is right now. I think just, you know, there's too much bad on the Titans right now. Tannehill's not a given. The offense stinks. And a guy like Will Levis, you know, take a chance on him. Maybe in the future, he could become a future star. 11's pretty good value. I think he'll be taken around there, you know, maybe a little bit higher, but I can't see him falling, you know, outside of the top 15. So I think the Titans snatch him up at 11.
I like that pick. I think that's the right pick.
It's the right predictive pick. It's not the right move, but
I don't know.
I digress. I digress.
It needs to be seen. Next, I've got the Texans for a second time. And I don't know. The board has fallen really well for teams that need offensive line. You got Paris Johnson Jr. still on the board. You got Broderick Jones still on the board. You have Anton Harrison even could go this high. Darnell Wright. Awesome tackle class, to be honest. But I don't think the Texans need a tackle. They've got Laremy Tunsil locked up long term. You definitely could take a tackle. Your team is pretty barren all around. I mean, you had the number one overall pick until the last week of the season. So you can't really go wrong here. You want to help out Anthony Richardson, but it's tough. It's tough. It's tough. I think that I'm going to go with my gut, have them pick. No, I'm not going with my gut. I'm not going with my gut. I'll give him Paris Johnson Jr. Too good of value. I don't see any way that he lasts to 12 in real life. So too good of value.
Interesting. Interesting. I like that pick. I think Paris Johnson could fall depending on how things go. Different teams, different people think less of him. I don't know. He's inconsistent, has been inconsistent in college, but you can't deny, you know, the gifts he has. I think if things work out with Paris Johnson Jr., he could easily be the best tackle in the class. It's just, you don't know if it's going to work out, obviously. You don't know with any of these guys, but I don't hate that pick there. I think it's probably better than going receiver, which a lot of people have.
I was right there.
Yeah.
Right there.
And moving on, the Jets are at 13. The Jets have a lot to address, or a lot that they could address, but they have a good team. And I think with a good team, you still need to address cornerstones. Their offensive line is still very shaky. You've just seen two tackles go in the last four picks. I don't think that they're going to let another one slide, or they're not going to wait, at least in a no-trade draft. I think this is a spot for Broderick Jones. I'm going to take him. I was thinking of taking, you know, Paris Johnson maybe, if he would have fallen to 13.
Exactly.
Edge is definitely still a consideration. There's a lot to consider. But I think that especially if they're getting Aaron Rodgers, which I do think is going to happen, then, you know, they're going to go for a tackle, and they're going to try to make sure that their offensive line is good, so their offense could be stable, because it still needs a lot of stabilization. You still don't know with Mekhi Becton, you know, keeps getting injured. There's a lot to think about. I think Broderick Jones is a good pick, pretty safe pick. I think he's going to be pretty good.
There's no way that's actually how you say the guy's name.
Yeah.
It's Broderick Jones.
Is what I said.
That can't be.
Broderick Jones.
I got to Google it after.
Okay.
All right.
So, at least that's how I've been saying it, but name aside, he's a good tackle.
Yeah, he's a mauler.
Yeah.
And with Breece Hall coming back, I really like that pick.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've got the Patriots at 14. Patriots like their value. They like to get dudes who fall, but they also like to reach. So, I've seen edge mock there. I think they could go edge on Nolan Smith, the Lucas Van Ness. We haven't really had much edge taken this draft.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that with the rumors surrounding Mac Jones, they might want to trade Mac Jones, and I think that they're going to realize the travesty that was committed upon Mac Jones this past season. Offense being ran by Matt Patricia, who's a defensive coordinator, and Joe Judge, who sucks. Your number one receiver for his whole career being Jacoby Myers is stupid. Mm-hmm. Idiotic. Yep. So I think they're going to correct their ways and go Jaxon Smith-Njigba out of Ohio State, becoming the first receiver off the board. I think he's going to be the first receiver off the board no matter what. I think he's the best one. I think that they're going to see the talent there. The Patriots aren't really the type to go with the athletic profile. I think they're going to go for the skill more. So I think that's the pick there.
Yeah. JSN, while I wasn't huge on him going first for a while, I've kind of warmed up to it. I think he missed the season. Obviously, there's some question marks there, but what we saw on film from, you know, over a year ago, what we saw on film from Ohio State, you know, that one crazy game I know everybody remembers, where he just went off when Olave and Garrett Wilson were not playing. JSN's a game changer. So I think, you know, the Patriots definitely taking a chance on him. to give Mac Jones someone to throw to is definitely a good idea. I don't know if they would take JSN over some of these other receivers, but I do think he'll be the first taken. So if no receiver's been taken by 14, maybe New England's the team to take him first. I don't really know. I guess we'll see. But 15, Green Bay Packers, in a similar position, I do think they need a receiver.
Please don't.
And sorry, what, Alex?
Please don't do it.
No. I think that the Packers need a receiver, but we're doing this predictive style. And one thing that you told me, Alex, was that, which is true, the Packers don't draft receivers high. Christian Watson was, they took him in the second round, second and that's round. Like one of the highest receivers they drafted.
And Adams.
Yeah, like, you know, they also took Davante Adams in the second round. They have Christian Watson, who I think is their number one guy and probably will be. They'll develop him. They have Dobbs. I do think they go receiver at some point, but I don't think it's here at 15. And with all this edge talent still here, I think that this is a Nolan Smith pick.
I like that.
I think Nolan Smith is the best edge guy left. I know Miles Murphy's there. You know, some people are big on Van Ness. I'm not. I think Nolan Smith, you know, Georgia defenders, we've seen good things from them in recent years. And the Packers love, you know, beefing up their defense. 15, I think they go edge. And I think edge is going to start to become more prevalent as we get, you know, more towards the mid and end of this first round.
I like that. Next, I've got Washington. Washington needs a corner. I mean, the best corner left is Joey Porter Jr. out of Penn State. And yeah, nothing further. That one's easy. He falls into their laps at 16 when he probably shouldn't, and they love it. He's a good player. He's very good in press man. He's a little handsy, just like Devin Witherspoon, and that is going to need to get coached out of him because he's going to draw a lot more flags in the NFL than he did in college, but he's still a very good player.
That's fair. 17, Steelers are in a rough spot, I think, because they have a decent amount of needs. I don't love the Steelers team as a whole. I think offensively is what you need to focus on if you're the Steelers. And really, with Kenny Pickett as your quarterback, I don't think there's much you could do, even if you get the right pieces. I'm going to be real. I'm not a Kenny Pickett guy. I don't like Kenny Pickett. I think he'll get better and better, but I think the Steelers at best will just be like a wild card team. And I don't know. That being said, I think that they're going to try to beef up their line. I keep saying beef up. That's funny. But there's a couple. You could, you know, the Steelers need a lot on their offensive line. They really have one of the worst offensive lines in the league. We kind of saw it last year with Najee Harris. You know, he had an awful year. He took a big step back from his first year, and a lot of it was to do with the Steelers' offense. I think that they're going to go a tackle here at 17. And the guy I have them taking is DeJuan Jones, who is ranked lower than some other tackles, but he actually was very good compared to them. Just his overall numbers, DeJuan Jones, a little underrated, I think. I think the Steelers and other teams are going to know that. They're going to have them higher than most people think he'll go. And I don't know if the Steelers will be the team to take him, but I kind of, you know, this is a tough pick for me. I think that definitely not a bad pick. And while there's other guys who could go here, I do think they're going offensive line. So if you're not taking DeJuan Jones, I think an offensive lineman is going here. Just happens to be the one that I think that they will take or should take. So
I'm not going to hate on you for that pick. I could see offensive line. To me, it's between tackle and corner. The way that this draft, the board fell in this one, it's probably tackle because we haven't had a huge run on them yet. I probably would have gone Darnell Wright. But I'm not going to hate on you for DeJuan Jones. They're both right tackles, and they're both good players. So, I'm cool with that. Next, I've got another repeat, Detroit at number 18. First, I gave them Christian Gonzalez at corner. And here, with the lack of edge players selected, they need some defensive line help. They need someone across from Aiden Hutchinson, who had an awesome rookie year. They have James Houston there, but James Houston is not really much of an every down player. He's more of like a situational pass rusher. So I'm going to go with the last, like, probably guaranteed first round tier edge in Lucas Van Ness. He's a very raw player, I would say. He doesn't have much technical skill yet. There's not a lot of moves that he has, but dude is strong as a horse. So I think that he very well could develop into an awesome pass rusher. and he's the pick there at number 18 for the Lions.
I don't know if I love that. I do think that, you know, they could go edge. There's a lot that they could do. I would probably have them going Brian Branch. They do need secondary help. They need a safety. And I'm not super high on Van Ness, as I said earlier. I would put him late first to early second round if it were me. That being said, you know, I definitely could see them taking him. He's a high upside type of guy. A lot of people fall in love with the things he does right. So, you know, and at 18, that's not horrible value compared to where he's going in some mocks. So, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibilities. I just think like Brian Branch or, you know, is probably a more likely pick.
Nickel only? Brian Branch is a strictly nickel player.
Brian Branch is very good, though. And the Lions have very, very severe secondary issues. I gave him a yeah, corner. They already have Christian Gonzalez, but I don't know. But I'm not going to waste more time. I have 19 and I have the Buccaneers. And the Buccaneers, like you said, are one of two teams that Bijan Robinson has interviewed with. He's gone. Here at 19, you know, you still kind of need a quarterback, but I don't think that one is going to go here. I don't think that the value's here for one. And I think really looking at the way that the board has worked, I think this is an edge position. I know Lucas Van Ness just went, but I still think that there's a couple guys who could go first round edge just because edge is such an important position. And the Bucs do need edge. Here, I think I am going to take Miles Murphy. He's a guy who I actually have falling a lot further in certain drafts. I don't know. Miles Murphy, I've seen him fall very far. I've been mocking him like mid-20s sometimes. 19, I don't think is bad value for him, though. That's true. Like I said, I mean, the Bucks really, really do need edge. They have a lot of things to address. And I think with, you know, the lack of a lot of better options, I think they address edge first with Miles Murphy.
All right. I like that pick. I think that's a decent landing spot for him. Tampa, I probably would have gone offensive line, especially with someone like Darnell Wright on the board, but I'm not going to hate on you for that. Next, I've got Seahawks at 20. I think that this honestly could be a surprise spot for Hendon Hooker. Depends. I don't know that he'll go first, but if he does, we're going to start to see some more potential fits for him here in the 20s, but I'm not doing it. I think that the Seahawks need a lot of defense here. We gave them Tyree Wilson already, so they got the edge problem sorted out, and it's tough for me. I want to go Brian Bercy. I want to go Kalijah Kancey, maybe even Brian Branch, but I think that with my final pick here of the Seahawks, I'll go Brian Bercy. I think that both of the defensive tackles here, Kalijah Kancey and Brian Bercy, have some problems. Kalijah Kancey, it's more related to size, and like he's really small, like historically small. Like his arms, he has T-Rex arms, as people say, which is kind of mean, but kind of true. He has shorter arms, especially for that position where you kind of need him to stop the run. And Brian Bercy, he was a top recruit out of high school. He's been injured a lot. Production hasn't really been there at Clemson, but the potential is still there. You can see it. And I think that's the pick. They need a lot of defensive help. Their defense was terrible last season, and I think that that's just a – I think that's the pick there with the way this board is falling. So now we have the 21st pick, which would have been the Miami Dolphins, but – for tampering with Tom Brady, they have had it taken away. And to mourn their loss of that pick, we're going to have a slight moment of silence here for that number 21 overall pick. And yeah, so join us in a moment of silence right here. After our moment of silence, we're going to actually switch the order now because it's mean of me to take a pick from Michael. And so now he's going to be even the rest of the way and I'll be odd. Just so we keep the alternation thing going on. So I give you the floor.
I also just like, I really wanted this Chargers pick. So it was more so than, but 21 Chargers. not 21, 22 Chargers. My bad. This is tough because the Chargers were so disappointing last year in the playoffs, losing to Jacksonville. There's just so many things that I want to do to help this team, to help Justin Herbert. And I think the number one thing that can be done is to take Jordan Addison at 22. And one thing, I wasn't super high on going receiver for the Chargers because when you look at their team right now, you're like, okay, their receiving core looks good, until you realize that everybody's getting hurt every single season. Keenan Allen's going to be hurt. Mike Williams is going to be hurt. Jalen Guyton, their speed guy, tore his ACL. So, I mean, that's going to be a long recovery. I don't really think that they have that game changer that Justin Herbert needs. And there's rumors that Keenan Allen is probably or might get cut pretty soon. So it might not be this year, but he'll be cut eventually. I think that they're going to go a full new direction and a whole new direction, I meant, sorry, with their receiving core and with their weapons. And Jordan Addison is a beast. He's a beast. I think at 21, it's pretty good value. You could still address corner and other, you know, positions of need later in the draft. But I really think you want to appease Justin Herbert, and getting him a good receiver who will probably stay healthy is a big need. So Jordan Addison, 22 to the Chargers.
All right. I don't know that I would have picked Jordan Addison, but I do like the receiver at Chargers. So now I have the Ravens, who I don't know what to do with them. You'd think it's an easy receiver spot, but they're not taking receiver. Let's be real. So I think that they could be a spot for offensive line. Their offensive line is very subpar. I have them taking Bijan in a couple mocks, but that's obviously not a possibility right now. Wide receiver, I just don't see it being the spot here for wide receiver. So I think that I'll give them interior offensive line. They've had some offensive line issues, and I will give them John Michael Schmitz out of Minnesota. Casual offensive line pick for them.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, I don't hate it. More of a second round guy to most people, but I could easily see him going, I think, like the tail end of the first
round. Either there or the Giants.
Yeah. I could see it happening. I don't hate it. I really don't hate it. I don't hate drafting offensive line generally, because I feel like, you know, it's such an important need, and a lot of time teams neglect it, or they just don't have great lines, and it really screws up the rest of their offense. So just anything you could really do to make your line better, to make the rest of your offense better, very important. 23, the Vikings are in an interesting spot. And I know you, Alex, you like the Vikings trying to get a quarterback. I don't. I don't think that they're going to take one at 23. If they were to take one, it would probably be Hendon Hooker. I mean, it would only be Hendon Hooker.
Yeah, at this point.
Yeah, I don't really think that there's anybody else who could go. But I don't love it. I think that corner is such a need for the Vikings. It really is. And there's still some decent corners left. So I really do think that they go secondary here in a corner. And that brings the conversation between Deontay Banks and Kelee Ringo, who I think are both pretty good. I do think Deontay Banks is a tiny bit better, even though Ringo's extremely fast, has great size. I think Deontay Banks just a little bit of a better prospect going in. And I think the Vikings will go one of the two guys. I picked Banks because I prefer him. I don't know what their rationale would be in taking a corner. And I just know that their secondary stinks and they need to do something to address it. And so Deontay Banks at 24 to the Vikings is my pick.
I like that pick. Looking back, I probably would have taken corner for the Ravens, but, you know, it's fine. John Michael Schmidt's a good player. He's going to help that offense. I didn't go receiver because I think they're going to get Hopkins.
That'd be interesting.
Odell, which who even knows what's going on with Odell now?
Oh, yeah.
On an assault charge, but whatever.
Yeah.
That team's a disaster. they're capable, but they're a disaster. Next, I have the Jaguars at 25. I have another one that's really, really easy. They need a nickelback. Brian Branch is the best one of those. and he can play some safety for them too. So Brian Branch at 25 to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I love that pick. Very confident in that one.
Yeah, I don't hate it at all. Brian Branch, like I said, I thought he should have went earlier to the Lions. At least that's where I have him mocked. You may disagree, Alex. And moving on, the Giants at 25. I am pretty lost with what to do here at this pick. They do need a corner. They need secondary help in general. There's offensive line is always a need for the Giants too. So I really think that this could be like corner, secondary, offensive line. I don't know how they are going to address this. And I do think that with Deontay Banks just going, I think that, you know, I just made this decision. I'm going to go offensive line here. I'm going to take Osiris Torrance, who's a guard from Florida. The Giants just, they're really, their offense, you know, I think was the thing that was holding them back last year. Daniel Jones had a pretty good year. Dable's an incredible coach, but they're still just missing that pop. You know, they're not able to score points, you know, whenever they want. And part of that reason was because their offensive line still isn't very good. Their still skill positions still aren't very good. I think Osiris Torrance is one of the better linemen in the draft. And because he's a guard, he may go lower than some of these other linemen, but he is a very powerful guard. The Giants are getting a real good player here at 26. I don't know if I said 25. At 26, the Giants are getting a great player. And so, you know, I think that they go Osiris Torrance over maybe a corner here. Like I said, a little unsure, but that's just my reasoning.
I think receiver there.
I don't like receiver, but
got some good receivers left on the board.
There's one that should be picked probably before the end. We'll see. End of the first round.
I agree. I think there's only one.
Yeah.
I don't know that we're talking about the same one. I don't think we are.
I think one receiver has to go. One more receiver has to go before the end of the first round. I guess we'll see who gets picked.
No, honestly, I see a couple landing spots for receiver. But number 27 to the Cowboys is not one of them. And I think that Cowboys have an easy pick here. They go Darnell Wright out of Tennessee. Their line is not what it once was. It's aging and slower, so they need to infuse it with some youth. And Darnell Wright is the best tackle left on the board here. I think that he should have been long gone by pick 27, so easy money there.
I don't know about long gone.
I've been getting blessed by the board.
I don't know about long gone, but I think it is a good fit with the Cowboys at 27. So, yeah, like I said, offensive line, it's hard for me to hate the pick unless it's really unwarranted. I think that Cowboys, Darnell Wright, good fit. I've seen it mocked. I like it. At 27, the Buffalo Bills are here, and they have a lot that they could do. And what I'm going to do may surprise you a little bit, Alex. I'm taking Josh Downs, receiver, slot receiver from North Carolina. I think that receiver is the best option for them and what they need on their offense. And there's a couple really good receivers left. Quentin Johnson hasn't gone yet. Guy who I don't love, but I think likely will probably be gone by 27. Maybe not. But with the Bills offense, they kind of need... I think they need a slot guy. I think Josh Downs fits this offense the best. He's very dynamic. Josh Allen's going to love throwing it deep to him. You know, I think Josh Downs is going to have be very good if the Bills end up taking him. And I think 28 is pretty good value for him. I don't think he'll go to any other team, really. The only team I could see him fitting super well with is the Bills. I know you like Hyatt here. I think Downs is just a little bit of a better fit, though.
Not even who I would have picked.
So
I'm not going to lie to you. I hate that pick.
Really?
I think there's three receivers I would have taken before that.
I mean, personally, I don't like Josh Downs as much as some of these other receivers, but I think...
Maybe they go with him over QJ, but they don't go with him over Flowers. They don't go with him over Hyatt.
He's ranked higher than Hyatt by most experts, and I think he's a better offensive fit for the Bills. So if that's what I'm picking off of, that's my reasoning. Predictive-wise, I don't think they go Hyatt over Downs, but, I mean, I don't know. Flowers is more questionable. I could see them taking Flowers, too, here.
Flowers, I think, should be gone by now, but we haven't really had the spot.
Yeah.
I would have gone with him for the Chargers probably. But
Addison's better than Flowers, I'm gonna be real, but
it's up there. It's a question.
Yeah.
Next, I have the Bengals, and there's two real spots for me to go here. It's either corner or offensive line. And everyone probably thinks I should go offensive line, but and safety is probably their biggest need, but the safeties on the board, I should say, are just not there. Anton Harrison is the best tackle left on the board here, but I don't know that they take him. I think the corner class is a little bit deeper. I think that I'll give him Anton Harrison. They need the line help before they need the corner help. I'll give him Anton Harrison out of Oklahoma.
Nice. I mean,
he's a really good tackle, and they need a tackle. Even though they already signed Orlando Brown, I think that they've got to just play it safe and go with the lineman. If it was corner, I probably would have gone Emmanuel Forbes. But
no. I like them going corner or edge over a tackle, but at the rate that offensive linemen have been drafted in this mock, I mean, I guess it's not bad to rush to make sure you get one. So it's fair. It's fair. At 30, the Saints have their pick, and really the Saints need a defensive tackle. They also need edge. Tight end has been mocked here. I don't love tight end. I don't think it's, you know, as much of a need as D tackle. And I think this is where Kalijah Kansi goes.
So.
Yeah, I think that this is the spot at 30 where Kalijah Kansi finally goes. Aaron Donald 2.0, not really, but I'll say it just because it's funny. From Pitt, D tackle. A guy who has a lot of potential. I'm not as in love with him as most people, but I do think he should be a first round pick. And the Saints get a good defensive player who could do a lot of things. So 30, Kalijah Kansi.
I like that pick. I think that's where he's destined to go.
Mm-hmm.
So next, I have another repeat team in our Philadelphia Eagles that I had them getting Bijan at 10 already. And normally, I would go back to the trenches here because, you know, the Eagles do love their trenches. But there's not really anyone that I think that they would take here. There's smoke about the defensive tackle from Northwestern, whose name I truthfully cannot say. Like, legitimately, I cannot say it. There's also smoke about Will McDonald. But I just don't think that there's the right player to take here. So I think that with their corner duo, even though they're locked up for the next couple of years, they're aging and they're not deep at corner at all. Like at all. One injury and they're completely done for. So I think they're going to shore up their depth and go Emmanuel Forbes corner out of Mississippi State.
I mean, not bad. I'd be happy with that pick as an Eagles fan. And, you know, the edge rusher from Northwestern's name, you can't say. Adetomia,
you can't say.
I can't say the last name. I thought I had it, but I don't. Anyway, that's who you're talking about. Good player, by the way. I have him mocked in the first in a lot of my mocks, but Emmanuel Forbes is, I think, also a very good pick, and especially going Bijan, you know, taking corner at the end of the first is, I think, the right move. So, as an Eagles fan, I'd be happy if we ended up doing both of those. I still don't love Bijan, but predictive-wise, that's a very Howie move, I feel like, taking Emmanuel Forbes, 31.
Yeah.
And last but not least, the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl winners. We should have won. I'm not going to talk about that anymore. The Chiefs are a very good team. One thing, though, is I still don't think that their receiving core is that fantastic. And I don't really think it needs to be that fantastic, but you just lost Juju.
Big loss.
I mean, it's just, you know, you just lost Juju. It's even worse.
Loss right there.
So I am going to take a receiver here. You can take an offensive lineman, but I think receivers, there's still a very good receiver left.
Question is which one?
And I'm taking Zay Flowers here at 32. You know, I think Quentin Johnson should have probably been taken earlier. But I just don't think it's the best fit. I think he's more of a second round guy. It'll be similar to T. Higgins, big bodied receiver who's going to go at the top of the second round as opposed to a first round guy. And I think Zay Flowers is just more of a complete receiver than Jalin Hyatt, than Cedric Tillman, some of these other receivers who could possibly go in this range. And Mahomes needs a dynamic pass catcher. Zay Flowers is very good. Probably should have, we talked about it, he probably should have gone earlier than, the last pick of the first round. So I think Kansas City, while they lose Juju, if they get a guy like Zay Flowers at the last pick in the first round, you got to be happy with that. And that's what I think they're going to do.
All right, then that's our first. That's the official goal line stuff predictive mock draft
Yeah.
with no trades, which is obviously not realistic, but.
Yeah, with no trades, I think that the no trades is going to screw us up the most because there's so many trade worthy,
With
positions in
quarterbacks
the
going
draft
out.
this year with all the quarterbacks, with just everything. I think that there's going to be multiple trades in this first round, and that are definitely going to screw up everything that we've done and all the hard work we've put in. But hey, it's we did no trades. And so I think that this is truly better than our past year mocks. I think it's more realistic. We tended to make some wild picks sometimes, Alex.
I think there's a couple wild picks in here.
Yeah, but I think the wild picks are good predictive wild picks. There's always going to be wild picks. And I think the logic is very strong here with most of our picks. We went a little heavy with offensive linemen, but I think that tends to
Everyone kind of
happen in
operates.
drafts. You either go heavy edge, corner, offensive lineman. So I'm not too upset with it. And yeah, it's really a shame we didn't get to do as much draft analysis and stuff like that. But I do think that this mock made up for that. You heard a lot of our opinions on players, a lot of the teams that we think what positions they need. You heard some of our arguing. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. You have anything to say, Alex, before I do the outro?
I got nothing more. I hope we
Nothing
don't
more.
take Bijan at 10, but who knows?
Who knows?
We're
I
getting
really.
Derrick Henry, actually. I almost think that that's true.
That came into my mind when you picked Bijan, but then I forgot to say something. Derrick Henry rumored to the Eagles.
I
I
think
don't know
that's
even
fake.
how I feel about it,
I
but
think that's fake, but I still could see it happening. It'll be a trade down from 10 to 11. They give us Derrick Henry too.
I mean, like, I wouldn't say I really, really want him, but I'm not opposed to having Derrick Henry on my team. Yeah. That being said, though, like I said, that's our predictive mock. No trades. I hope you enjoyed. Hope you got some insight from this. And yeah, you'll be free to judge us after the draft on how well we did. We'll see. Last year wasn't too accurate, but I think we're going to be a little bit better this time. And yeah, hope you enjoyed. We should get more content out in the future. Post-draft content, I guess, just looking more towards next year. Look forward to that. And thanks for staying here this whole time. We really appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed. Bye-bye.